saints in your kingdom, transformed by the renewing of our minds. Bless our church, school, and campus ministry in 2018 as we pledge our time, talents, and treasures to the glory of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On this day, we celebrate the faith of all the saints who have gone before us, confessing Jesus as Lord to their dying days. Not only that, but we celebrate the saints who are with us here and now, in this place and all around the world. Unfortunately divided by numerous denominations, those who are truly disciples are yet unified in the one true saint, Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, took on human flesh to be a saint for us. By his atoning death and resurrection, he makes us saints. And making us saints, Jesus now uses us to do what he does. In today's gospel reading, Jesus teaches for the first time in the Gospel of Matthew. The first teaching is always fundamental. The Beatitudes are the foundation for the rest of Jesus' teaching and healing in the gospel. These words are so important from the mouth of Jesus that Matthew makes great detail to present Jesus as the new and greater Moses, the one who revealed the will of God to the people of Israel in the wilderness. But now, instead of Moses coming down the mountain to tell the people, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, speaks directly. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, sitting on the mountain, Jesus has the posture of ancient teaching. God himself has come to teach his people. From this man's mouth come the very words of the God who brought Israel out of Egypt. But he's not come to tell us what to do, or to just teach us about ourselves. Jesus comes to teach us about himself. Often our perception of the Ten Commandments is slightly off, but not entirely wrong. What Moses tells us is about us. I should not murder. I should not steal. I should not bear false testimony. Looking up at the top of the mountain, God seems like the Almighty, who tells us what we have done wrong and what we should do instead. But as Jesus sits on the mountain and teaches his disciples, we see that God is not distant. He is not a dictator using his authority to get what he wants from us. Instead, he is our Father who wants us to live like him. For he has redeemed us in order to return us to his image. The Ten Commandments are first and foremost descriptions of who God is. Through the words given to Moses, God says to us, "This is who I am. I do not murder. I do not steal. I do not bear false testimony. I want you to be like me again." Well, Jesus speaks no differently. Leading up to this moment in Matthew's gospel, the entire first four chapters have been entirely about Jesus. From his genealogy, to his birth, to his baptism, to his temptation, to the calling of the first disciples. As Matthew 1, verse 1, states in the clearest of terms, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Everything in the Gospel of Matthew is about Jesus. Everything the apostles passed on is about Jesus. Everything we do here and in this place is about Jesus. And as we proudly declared last week in the celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, it's still all about Jesus. Even when we reach heaven with all the saints who have gone before us, guess what? It will still be all about Jesus. It seems that we as saints can just never get enough of Jesus. As the reading from Revelation describes, everyone in heaven will be looking at Jesus crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Jesus is the loving God who saves in his entirety among us, in the flesh and blood. And so he speaks. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." The list goes on. The language of the Beatitudes can often confuse us. Who is Jesus talking about? Am I poor in spirit? I'm definitely not meek. Quickly, we can lose focus of Jesus' true purpose to teach us about himself, to teach us who God is. Jesus is poor in spirit. He claims nothing on his own, but relies entirely upon the will of the Father, fulfilling the gruesome task in store for him. When he struggles in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus had absolutely no desire to do what he did. Jesus did not enjoy the cross. Yet he was poor in spirit, relying upon the Father to carry him through his suffering and death. Jesus is the one who mourns. Matthew records the words of Jesus in chapter 23, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. See, your house is left to you desolate." Jesus mourns as the very people who should expect him reject him in Jerusalem, because he knows that the very people he loves will suffer for it. Jesus is the meek one, while being Almighty God, who had every right to come down and tell us what to do. He humbled himself in the form of a servant. Jesus took on mortal flesh to die for all mankind. He did not charge into Jerusalem and proclaim his glory, but rode in on a donkey to reach his ultimate destination of death. Jesus hungers and thirsts for righteousness as he saves his people from their sins. Jesus is the merciful one who heals the sick, casts out demons. Jesus is the pure in heart who feels compassion towards those in need. Jesus is the peacemaker who reconciles unholy humanity with the holy God. Jesus is the one persecuted for righteousness' sake, for in his death, righteousness is given to all. When that righteousness is given to all, then we finally can become the subject of the Beatitudes. Jesus, the first saint, makes us saints, as he makes all who believe in him saints. In Jesus, we are poor in spirit, who claim nothing but rely upon our Heavenly Father to take care of us. The kingdom of heaven is ours because Jesus has given it to us. Jesus comforts us with the message that he has won upon the cross and has risen from the dead when we mourn over those who reject him. Jesus satisfies us with his body and blood as we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus helps us see God as he places the very body and blood of God in our hands, in our mouths. Jesus calls us sons of God as we reconcile with our brothers, making peace as Jesus first did. Jesus gives us the kingdom of heaven as we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The Beatitudes are not a list of transactions that God gives to those who fulfill certain requirements. We cannot pick and choose which qualities we have because we know we can't have all of them. I can't say, well, I'm definitely not meek, but I am merciful, so I'll receive mercy, but I guess I won't get to inherit the earth. No, all the Beatitudes are descriptions of us as saints. Not because of who we are, what we do, but because Jesus lives in us. Jesus alone has the qualities of meekness, mercy, peacemaking, and the like. Jesus has poured out his very blood upon the cross in order to bring us to himself. He names us and makes us sons of the Father by water and word, and he sends us the Holy Spirit to work in us. By faith, we receive the true saint into ourselves, and we become saints. And now, as saints, Jesus is not done with us. He doesn't bless us, make us saints, and then leave us alone to go live our lives apart from him until he comes to take us away. Rather, he fights daily as the new Adam to drown the old Adam. Jesus fights daily as the saint against the sinner within us. This is exactly what Luther realized. Luther was not alone in his struggle against his sin. Luther was not condemned by his own inability to be poor in spirit, merciful, meek, and pure in heart. Luther was freed from himself as he was claimed by Jesus. Luther's sainthood rested not in his power to stop sinning, but in the power of Jesus to join Luther to himself. Jesus is not a judge, but the peacemaker who takes our guilty sentence upon himself. As Luther learned, our daily struggle with sin does not make us any less saints. In fact, it shows us that we are saints. Sinners do not struggle with sin. Sinners love sin. That's why they keep on doing it. It is Jesus within us who hates sin, who fights against sin. His battle upon the cross happens now within us as the devil keeps bruising his heel, but Jesus crushes the devil's head. At the end of the day and at the end of our lives, we see that Jesus is the victor. Our sin remains in us, but Jesus has freed us from our slavery to sin. He has made us sons who remain in the house forever. He has made us saints. The bell tolls today for saints, for sons, for Christians. The bell tolls today for those who fought the great battle each and every day alongside Jesus. The bell tolls today for those who emptied themselves, recognizing that they are poor in spirit, while Jesus richly gives. The bell tolls today for those who have reached the goal, the life of the cross. The bell tolls today for those who lead us on to the victory parade of the Son of God. Now, our sainthood is more than an internal battle with sin, or just the salvation that we receive. God uses saints for the salvation of others. Just as God sent a man in Jesus, God sends men today. As Jesus lives in us, we do the same things as Jesus. Now we help others gain the kingdom of heaven. We comfort those who mourn. We help the meek inherit the earth. We satisfy. We give mercy. We reveal God. We call our brothers sons of God. Through Jesus, every single part of the Beatitudes applies to us. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. One day, the sinner in us will be destroyed. The head of the devil will be completely crushed forever. One day, the persecution will end. One day, the suffering will be over, along with all the mourning and grief. We will stop being sinners, but we will never stop being saints. Jesus, who dwells within us, does not die, but lives for all eternity. Jesus, who took our guilty punishment upon himself, declares us innocent for all eternity. Jesus, who made us saints, will bring us to himself, and we will fully enjoy the kingdom of heaven, for it is ours. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
We sing the offertory, page 192. We stand to sing. church, we stand to pray. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Grant, Lord Jesus Christ, that you, through the Heavenly Father and by the blessed light of your divine word, to lead us into the knowledge of you and your righteousness, grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit to ever walk in the light of your truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant, O Lord, that you watch over those who are in the hospital in need of healing and strength. Owen Cook, Arlene Otte, C.O. Gransberg, and Doug Gransberg, David Huntley, Cormac Baxendale, Billy Gassaway, Devin Favors, and Sherry Ramsey. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the family of Susie Ramsey at the death of her mother, Ella Clayton. We thank you for your mercy to her, now that you've received her to yourself in heaven. Comfort Susie and all the family with the sure hope of a blessed reunion in heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, as we dedicate our time, talents, and treasures to you, that we would not have the pursuit of the passing things, but seek the kingdom of your Son and his righteousness. To that end, bless our church, school, and campus ministry this coming year. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, the power of the nations is yours. Bless our country, the United States of America, and those who serve defending our freedoms. Eric Burley, Steve Mills, Doug Jupe, and Mike Gobble, Mark Ray, Charles Gaither, Matt Niendorf, Stephen Maywald, and Jimmy Randall, and Tyler Wagner. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, direct, sanctify, and govern both our hearts and bodies in the ways of your laws and your commandments, that we, being holy in Jesus, may ever serve you. This week, bless Barbara Beal, Les Brown, and Alex Laffin, Michael Buller, Steve Butte, and Jim Randall, Diane Fisher, Frank Richards, Pastor David Carver, and Darren Davis. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the marriages in our parish, especially this week, Brian and Penny Maluski, and all married couples. Grant, O Lord, peace in the course of our busy lives and families, that we may ever serve you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
On this International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, we pray for those who are persecuted for the faith in North Korea and in Syria and Afghanistan and all around the world. Grant, O Lord, that you sustain them in their time of trouble, for you are our Father and we are your true children. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing hymn 677, verses 4 through 6. You may be seated.
Thank you.
These are they who are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. They shall hunger and thirst no more. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We toll the bell for those from our congregation, family, and friends, and around the world who have martyred for their faith, who died in Christ, and are now with the saints in glory. Members of our church, Brenda Stair Jones. Arlene Doetry. Those martyred, Joseph Cassina. Pastor Paul Oloru. Pastor Sultan Masi. Hossein Ali. Chungawa Muthemba. And among our family and friends, those that we name in our hearts. The Lamb in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. To God, Father, Son, and Spirit be glory forever and ever.